Merry Christmas, everybody. Great show for you today. Abbreviated version of the Wells Tech Podcast as we have Pastor Dan Kalpin from the World Missions Office talking about Christmas around the world. Stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is episode 268 for Tuesday, December 25th, 2012. Merry Christmas, Sally.
Merry Christmas to you. It's a very special day, obviously, and happy to be able to share our Christmas joy through the podcast.
Yep. And true confessions, we're actually not recording this on Christmas Day. We are spending that time with our family and our church friends as well. And so actually about this time, I'm probably in Florida someplace.
Ah, so it's a week early for us, but I managed to wear my Christmas red.
Oh,
wanted to be
beautiful.
In the season. So, yep.
It is the season. And this is one of our special shows. Each year we try and do this. We don't do a full show of the Wells Tech Podcast. We recognize that people are busy and may not even be wanting to spend a lot of time with their iPod or their podcast player of choice. So we keep it short and sweet, and we try and find an interesting interview that speaks specifically of Christmas. Not necessarily all about technology, but somebody that's speaking about the special time of year and maybe bringing a little bit different perspective. And we've done that this year as well. We are going to be interviewing Dan Kalpin, Pastor Dan Kalpin, who's the administrator for World Missions, has been for many years here in the Synod office. He is one of those guys that travels a lot, so he has seen a lot of different worship styles and talks to a lot of people who do Christmas a little bit different than us. So we felt that, boy, this would be great to have Dan on to talk about his impressions of Christmas around the world.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this interview. I think our listeners will as well. And the stories and experiences that he has to share are just wonderful.
Yep. So let's listen to that now. We're very pleased to have Pastor Dan Kalpin, the Synod's administrator for World Missions, with us. Welcome, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you. It's a privilege to be with you.
Yeah, it's great. We try and have a very honored guest each year at around Christmas time, and you are indeed that honored guest. And you have been with the Synod for a number of years, but maybe before we jump into your role as administrator, tell us a little bit about yourself before you came to the Synod, and then kind of walk us through what you're doing now.
Okay, sure. I was parish pastor for about 27 years, was assigned out of the seminary to a exploratory new mission. I was the first resident pastor at Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And there were about 18 people when we started out, a number of them disaffected Lutherans from other church bodies and some Wells transplants from the upper Midwest. But they were very eager to grow the church, and they worked hard at canvassing and outreach, and the Lord blessed the proclamation of His word. And in 1973, we built a church, and in 75, we were able to start a school. And in 1978, we started another mission on the other side of Cincinnati. In 1983, at the Synod Convention, I was elected to serve on the Executive Committee for Southeast Asia Missions. And this involved quite a few flights to Milwaukee. And finally, when I did get a call to the Milwaukee area, it was one of the factors that weighed into the call. I went from a church of about 200 members to one of close to 2,000 members. So it certainly changed the way that I did ministry. But I've always had an interest in other places and other cultures. And after college, I went with two friends and we traveled to Europe for about 3 months. It was certainly an eye-opening experience, and it made me appreciate how blessed we were in the United States, and yet some of the not so good things that can come with extreme material blessings.
Sure, sure.
My wife Carol and I have 4 children and 13 grandchildren.
Wow.
At this point. So yeah, the tribe is increasing.
Yes. And when did you start in your current position in the Synod office?
In 1997. So okay. I've been here for about 14 years.
All in the same position, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, it includes carrying out the decisions of the Board for World Missions, of coordinating the mission effort with the efforts of the other areas of ministry in terms of budget and program. This includes home missions and ministerial education, and to some extent, even the congregational ministry support group. We work together with all those groups, but basically the board has to decide where to put the resources that are given to it by the members of the Synod. And of course, we need those resources dearly, because they're such a great task in getting the gospel out to a population of 7 billion. So a lot of what I do is on weekends and other occasions is I promote world mission work in other spots around the world and around the country, as particularly if I can get a chance to speak at mission festivals. It helps to raise awareness of what our church body's doing.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, in that role, 14 years as World Mission Administrator and starting all the way back in college with your European travels, I wonder, do you know how many countries you've actually visited in your lifetime?
Yes, actually, I did count them up the other day, and the Lord's given me the privilege of visiting 47 different countries at this point.
Wow, that's some a pretty that full not, passport.
Some that may not even exist anymore. At least
that's true.
Yeah,
yeah, so, we definitely see that you have a heart for missions, and you really have to kind of put that kind of travel time in and spend that much time in an airplane. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you as well. You've done a lot of traveling, and now in the Christmas season, a lot of those mission fields, of course, are celebrating Christmas, and we're spending a lot of time in worship. Just in general, what struck you as you visited some of these fields about the differences between worship here and worship elsewhere?
Well, it's interesting. It depends on, again, what part of the world you're
sure.
you're in. If you're in the European nations, many of the worship customs are quite similar, because many of our traditions have come from the Germans and
sure.
and other Europeans, the English.
They had it first, yeah.
that's right. The Orthodox Church in Russia is it's got beautiful music, but it's very mystical, and you know, the worship doesn't involve the congregation much, just the participants who come in off the cold streets and listen to the beautiful choirs and watch the priests go back and forth behind the icons mm-hmm. as part of their liturgy. But in certain countries, our Christmas traditions are not necessarily as much carried out. The Africans, for example, around Christmas time have camp meetings, village meetings, in which a number of churches get together, and they have a song fest. It's a camp meeting. It's a fellowship time. And some Christmas carols are sung, but it's a very special time and a joyous time because Christ is at the center of it. No matter how the Christmas is celebrated, at the very core of it is the love that families and Christians have for one another and even for those outside the church because of what Christ did for us in becoming our Savior. In India, they take plastic sheets and make little stars that they hang on the frames of their houses, and then they put little lights in connection with those stars, which are very reflective. And when you come on certain segments of a village that you know are Christian, you'll see all of these lights. And this is a courageous thing for the Indian Christians to do because it's predominantly a Hindu country, and they're expressing their joy in the Savior. And for that, some who don't like it oppose them, but they do it anyway, and it's wonderful to see.
Sure. So, Dan, in your travels and as you've visited worship settings, not just at Christmas too.
Yes.
Are they liturgical in nature? Are the services, let's say in Asia or Europe or wherever, liturgical as we would know them? Or what's the format that's used?
They would tend to have the basics of the liturgy because of the influence of the missionaries and because of the tradition of the church has seen the basic Western rite, which is the confession of sins.
Right.
And the absolution, the reading of the scripture and things like that. But when it comes to certain musical aspects, the Africans, for example, are quite different from
right.
us and very animated, beautiful harmony. They move with a great joy, and everybody gets up during the offering from their pews and kind of dances around and then places the offering in their collection plate and dances back to their seat. And so I remarked to the Africans about what joyous movements they have in doing this. And they said, well, how do you take collection at your own churches?
You didn't want to tell them.
Yeah, we just sit in the pews and pass the plate along. And they said, well, that doesn't sound very joyous to us.
I can't agree more. So do they follow the church year then as well? Is there a cycle that they follow like we do?
Some follow it more closely than others.
Sure.
But yes, a lot of them do. I should share a really interesting story. One time when in Cameroon, we were making our round to see a number of the churches. And we came to this thatched roof church where one man, the choir director, and two ladies who had some instruments were looking into the Psalms, and they were actually creating their own liturgy for the next service that was coming up. It was amazing to watch it. And, it was just very natural. Some of these people are quite talented to be able to do that type of thing. So, they do follow a pericope, but I think not as strictly in all occasions as we do.
Sure.
Probably want to make mention at this point, you shared with us earlier that the missions blog that's available out on the wells.net website has a tag for Christmas, and many of the missionaries around the world have written about the Christmas tradition. So I think that would be a great place to spend some time learning about Christmas around the world right there from our missions blog.
Absolutely. And thank you for reminding us of that, Sally. Our gals in the Mission Promotions Department have taken a great deal of time to talk to some of the missionaries' wives about how Christmas is celebrated. And I think each year they've tried to highlight a different country. So there's definitely some interesting things there to see.
Mm-hmm. So Dan, it's just speaking from the missionary's perspective now, obviously it can be maybe a difficult time, especially for missionaries who are spending Christmas, quote unquote, you know, away from home. Is there anything we in the States can do to make our missionaries maybe feel more at home during the holiday season?
That's a great question, Martin. I think that our missionaries are very dedicated people. They know why they're there, and they are willing to make the sacrifice of being away Absolutely. From parents and grandparents in order to share the gospel with others. But you know that the pull of home at Christmas time is very strong. We've got it in our songs.
Right.
There's no place like home for the holidays and things like that. And hundreds of thousands of us cram the airlines, and the bus terminals and the train terminals and the highways to get home. And our missionaries aren't able to do that. And so they appreciate, I think, that they are thought of and prayed for. And one group that does this very well is Lutheran Women's Missionary Society. They have a Befriend a Missionary program, and they send cards. And that just uplifts them a great deal to know that there are those who are thinking of their work. Prayer is very important for them, to hear that we're praying for them and we're thinking of them. And so cards and gifts are just essential. I just want to add one more thought. You know, we, ever since the Garden of Eden, we've all been homeless. And Jesus mm-hmm. left his home on the first Christmas in order for us to provide us with an eternal home. And that's why our missionaries are there, to show all of these despairing people around the world that there is a heavenly home waiting for them. So we're happy that they've left their home, but you know, Jesus said no one's left their home, father, mother, that they won't find a new family and receive 100-fold if it's done for my sake. So those are things we need to keep in mind about our missionaries.
Yep. So if somebody, Dan, wanted to connect with a missionary or a mission field, other than, let's say, what the LWMS group is doing, is there a way for them to do that? What steps could they take?
They could contact our office, and we would give email addresses out so that they could send a message. We can't always involve the missionaries in two-way conversations.
Right.
But they do appreciate email encouragement, so we would provide that for those who are interested.
Certainly. Great.
Excellent. Well, it wouldn't be the Wells Tech podcast without at least one technology question thrown into the mix. We're wondering how technology has changed in world mission work.
Maybe in
those 14 years you've been in this position, at least.
When I first started out with World Missions in 1983, it took 14 days for snail mail, which was our only means of communication, to get from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to a place like Jakarta, Indonesia. Mm-hmm. And so when we got to fax machines in 1989, we thought we had died and gone to heaven. And now, with the miracle of email, we can communicate with 23 fields in 14 seconds.
Right.
And it's amazing. It has cut down on misunderstandings. It has brought the missionaries closer to their families, even though they're halfway around the world. And today, a pastor in his office can actually get on his computer and through Skype and other mediums give someone instruction halfway around the world.
Right.
So the way mission work is being done is changing by the day, and technology is a big part of that. Martin, you were just at the Asia Publications Conference, and you know that we as Lutherans believe that a great big part of what we're doing is to get the message of God's word in an understandable form to other people so they can know the message of grace. And technology is helping the translation process by actually finding a way where we can put translated material into one site and have the theological editor and the grammar editor and all the others come so that this process is speeded up. The Word of God has its own power, as we know as Lutherans. And the more we get that message out, the more we see God's power working in people's lives. The first century was the paved highway of the Roman roads and the universal language of Greek and Latin. In the 21st century, I believe it's going to be the cyber highway that God will use to get his message out. So we thank you that we have this technology department and for your assistance in all the processes.
Well, we look forward to future collaboration. And one particular area that I know you're interested in, we're interested in, is in multi-language publications. As you mentioned, the Asia Translators Conference. And I know you've made some investment now in multi-language publications and a digital publications coordinator and are recognizing that, hey, it's not just the written word on a piece of paper anymore. There are lots of different channels through which the Word of God can be shared.
Absolutely.
So, Dan, thank you very much for taking some time out and sharing some of your insights in world mission fields and perspectives on worship, and blessings on your continuing work in the Synod office.
Well, my privilege. Thank you for inviting me, and have a blessed Christmas.
Thanks,
you and
you
yours.
Too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Our thanks to Dan for taking the time in his busy schedule. It's sometimes tough to find him in the office because he is doing all that traveling. But it's interesting, Sally, to hear about the different approaches to worship and to Christmas around the world.
Yeah, I had to share his story about giving offerings and dancing up to the offering plate with
cool?
the ladies here at our church. I thought that was a great story.
So, that is cool.
So. Yeah. He also shared a little bit about the fact that they blog over there in the missions office and that you can stay connected to our missionaries through the missions blog. I'll have a link in the show notes to their Christmas tagged blog post. And there's blog posts from all around the world talking about Christmas traditions and things in the different countries around the world where we have missionaries. So check it out. You'll enjoy the stories that are there as well.
Very nice. And thanks to Dan, and Merry Christmas, Dan. That's going to about do it for the show. Next week, Sally, will be the first show of 2013, and we're going to do just one more episode of that Seven Best series that we saw through 2012, and it will be our Seven Best Picks of the Year. So you and I are both going to get seven shots at it, and we're going to share with our listeners and viewers what we felt were the seven best. Now, we won't do the seven worst, just the seven best. So we'll be very positive, a positive start to the new year. This will actually be launching, the podcast will launch on New Year's Day, so a special day there too.
Looking forward to it, and it's hard to pick just seven best. 2012 was a big year for technology and ministry, and we have a lot of great stuff to share.
Yeah. Let's close the show with a special video, and those of you that are audio listeners will hear it, obviously. This is music from Mike Wessendorf, a friend of the show and somebody we've interviewed before, and a great Wells musician here locally here in Milwaukee. His song, a song that he wrote called Emmanuel Has Come. He released it on Vimeo as well, which is great, good for us. And so we have that for you to close the show. Merry Christmas, everybody. Praise the Lord that we have a Savior and a reason to rejoice on this show and with each other in the faith, as we know that we have a Savior and we're all headed for heaven. Spread the good news.
Merry Christmas.
So what we'd like to do, the next song is a song called Emmanuel Has Come. It's based off of What Child Is This? It's way different. Would love to just kind of get your thoughts on it. before we completely go to studio with this. It's called Emmanuel Has Come.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King whom shepherds guard. Angels sing, hurrying now to bring him praise. God's Son Emmanuel has come. Why has he come in poverty? The prophecies repeating. Good Christians fear, for sinners hear the silent word now speaking. Nails fear shall pierce him through. The cross he'll bear for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word flesh, God's Son Emmanuel has come. Hold of what he's given you. The King of Kings salvation brings, that faithful hearts may know him. Raise, raise the song on high, all praise to you, the people cry. Joy, joy, you've set us free. God's Son Emmanuel has come. Raise, raise the song on high, all praise to you, the people cry. Oh joy, joy, you've set us free. God's Son Emmanuel has come.
Put it on the Christmas album.